Hello, advanced listeners. Well, we are so happy that you are joining us today for this advanced program. We are in the month of September, and this month, or in the next few days, we are going to be looking at our career. Now, we try to bring you articles that are up to date and relevant for you and your career, whether it's balancing your life, whether it's improving your career, whether it's employment training, various things we try to cover in our career article. And this month is no different. We've called it Career Corner. So this is where you can come and find articles talking about different issues we face in our career. Now, today we will be looking at our work-life balance and perhaps some ways to help us have a healthy work-life balance. But I am not the only one in the studio today. I have some great panelists that have joined me today, and so I'm going to get them to introduce themselves right now.
Hi, friends. My name is Tim, and I'm glad to be here.
Hi, Tim. We're so glad that we can have you over from Let's Talk in English.
Yes.
Thank you for giving your
advance.
It is a big jump, yes. You went straight past studio classroom, straight to advance. Well, Tim, for you, how do you find your work-life balance right now?
Well, I've been working for a good 6 years now, and I feel I'm still trying to find the right balance between work and leisure, you know. But I think I'm getting there. I try not to think too much about work after work hours.
Right.
But, you know, now and then get those important emails and you have to reply to them.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, you might lose the customer or something.
Right.
So it's hard.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more about that in today's article. But to my left, I also have a great panelist, sir.
Hi, everyone. It's Albert, and I just want to make a quick note. I don't feel like many people know this, but Tim, besides Let's Talk in English, he is in our business development.
Yes, that's right.
And it's so good to have you here, and we can have your perspective. You know, you help us out a lot behind the scenes with our company. Yeah.
So I think that's also why we've got you on this actual article today, Tim. Well, let's see how we go. But wait a minute, Albert. I didn't get you to answer this question.
Okay.
How is your work-life balance right now?
I feel like it is a, I feel like it's just a continuous struggle. You know, there's, I feel like a lot of people out there probably encountered this where, you know, they want to do good in their work and they want to, you know, put in that 110% effort that at times, you know, your personal life and the quality of it will sort of start to suffer a little bit. So it's a constant, like, balancing act.
Right. A bit like a seesaw.
Yeah, a little bit like a seesaw. So I really, you know, I really look forward to talking about this article and talking about the career in general for the next few days.
Right. Well, listeners, why don't we get straight into our article for today? If you have your advanced magazine, please turn to page 12, or if you have your electronic device, join us as we take our first reading for today.
Career Corner, the latest news on work-life balance, keeping employees engaged, and the work struggles immigrants face. Five ways to cut back at work and be instantly happier. I've always been busy and achievement-oriented. When I graduated, I was still struggling to make ends meet, so I started working more and more hours. It wasn't long before this perseverance became a real problem. I reached a breaking point. I physically couldn't keep up with the pace I'd been setting for myself. It took me months to start changing course. Nearly a year after I first began to flounder, I'm in the process of making some concrete changes so I can get more enjoyment out of time I spend doing something other than work. If you are going through something similar, these tips might help you too. 1. Put self-care on the schedule. My hope is that by getting more comfortable with not working, I can get more comfortable with actual leisure. 2. Learn to unplug. A big part of learning how to be engaged in the world outside of my work has been to commit to other activities and to hold myself accountable. So I'm spending a minimum of 1 hour per week unplugged. My phone is not allowed to come with me on any activity.
Well, listeners, we are looking at our work-life balance today, and our article is entitled Five Ways to Cut Back at Work and Be Instantly Happier. What do we mean here, Albert, when we talk about cutting back at work? Are we talking about reducing our work?
Well, yeah, in a sense it is. It's not a literal sense, but I just imagine when you take a knife and cut something, right, you're portioning it out, mm-hmm. right? You're separating it. So cutting back is, reducing the amount of something.
Okay, good. Yes, so reducing the work that we do to be instantly happier. Sounds like coffee or tea, instantly happier. How does that work?
I guess it's one of those things where like, hey, here's a guide, and if you want to just get that instant results, right, these are some really quick tips that are proven and effective to work.
All right. Well, we hear from the author that she has been busy and achievement-oriented. What do we mean when we say we're achievement-oriented, Tim?
Achievement-oriented would mean when someone has a very specific goals and they would do everything they can to work for that goal.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes we say they're goal driven.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when she graduated, she was still struggling to make ends meet. And Albert, that's a great phrase, make ends meet. What does that mean?
Right. It's an idiom. It means to have just enough money to pay for the things that you need. So like things like rent, food, and just really critical needs, not wants.
Right. Or perhaps not even having the ability to save, right?
Right.
To put money aside to save. So your income is just covering the needs that you have in your life, but no more than that. Well, so because she was struggling to make ends meet, she started working more and more hours. And I think this is often what we do when our income is insufficient or it's just covering the basic needs in our life. Straight away we think, oh, I need to work more hours in order to make more money. Do you think that's quite common, Tim?
I think it's very common in Asian culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is working overtime. They're supposed to get off work at 6, but if the boss doesn't get off until 9, it feels awkward for you to, to leave earlier.
Right.
So it's not always just to, to make ends meet, to cover all the costs of your bills. But it's also it started to become a culture in
right.
a way.
A cultural expectation,
yeah.
right? Or even, I think sometimes it can be a company expectation because
yeah.
different companies operate differently. Yeah, so they find themselves working more and more hours, whether it's because of, like you said, money issues or because that's the cultural expectation within the company. It wasn't long before this perseverance became a real problem. Why would working more and more hours become a problem, Albert?
Well, just imagining in the long run, it's probably not, conducive or healthy for someone.
Mm-hmm.
She's using the word perseverance, which is to persist in doing something despite how difficult it is to achieve success or whatnot. So, just adding on more and more hours. She only has, we all only have so much hours in a day.
Right. So she reached a breaking point. And when we talk about breaking point, we're talking about a point in your life where you feel like you're losing control over your situation or your circumstance. And she was reaching this breaking point. And what was happening to her, Tim?
She physically couldn't keep up with the pace that she'd been setting for herself.
Right. So she had a goal for herself that she needed to be doing more and more hours of work, but then she found herself physically being unable to do that. And it says here, it took her months to start changing course. You know, I remember when I first graduated, I was working, and I was in this situation where I felt I wasn't making ends meet. So I thought the solution also was to work another job. Ooh. So I took on another job. Well, shortly after that, I started to get sick. Mm. I would get colds very easily. I got tonsillitis. I had tonsillitis twice in 1 month, and I realized this is not working. Working more hours was not the solution to my problem. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that.
Well, what is tonsillitis? It sounds like an appetizer.
Right, tonsillitis. You have tonsils at the back of your throat, and when they become inflamed,
right,
it hurts to swallow, mm-hmm. and you have a fever. And yeah, so I got that twice in 1 month, and that was how I learned, you know, not always working more hours is the solution to making ends meet. Mm. And I myself reached a breaking point. Well, she says it took her months to start changing course. And I think for me, I was working this other job for a while before I realized, hey, this is not working out, because we become determined or fixated on the fact that this is going to help solve the problem. But in fact, it didn't. And in her case, what happened to her, Albert?
Well, you know, after a year of this, she began to flounder. And flounder, it means to experience great difficulties or be completely unable to decide what to do or say next. I just imagine a fish that's out of the water and just flip-flopping around. They're floundering right there, you know. They're like it's not working out for them.
Right. I think it's interesting that it took her nearly a year before she began to flounder. So she was able to do what she was doing for a while. I myself, it only took me 3 months to start getting sick too often.
Well, I don't really... I feel like, you know, people can't be blamed for this persistence that we have. I feel like, you know, we see success stories about, like, how if you just have the willpower, you can do it. Or I feel like the opposite holds true, where people feel like, oh, if I don't put in the hours, I'm just a failure. You know, you hear about, like, these autobiographies or movies about, like, people doing, like, four jobs at once. And it's always, like, inspirational, but mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes people just take that and bury it in them, and they use that to drive them, which is good and sometimes bad.
Right, yes. You really do need to listen to your own body. She said that she was in the process, or she is in the process, while writing this article, of making some concrete changes. What do we mean when we say something is concrete, Tim?
Concrete is something solid. So it's a very specific change.
Right, yeah. She's not just doing it for a small amount of time, but she wants these to stick. She wants them to remain, these changes to be solid and remain in her life, so she can get more enjoyment out of time she spends doing something other than work. In fact, I think often we don't realize that having hobbies or other interests out of work keep us healthy, mentally healthy, but also physically healthy, because, Albert, like you said, oftentimes our inspiration comes from people that worked a lot, worked more than one job, and those goals or that determination was determined by how much they worked. But there are good things to having hobbies and doing something other than work. So if you're going through something similar, then perhaps some of the tips that we talk about today will help you as well. What's the first tip we learn, Albert?
Well, you got to put self-care on the schedule. You know, you just got to make time and make priority for that. You know, some people are not comfortable with, like, putting you first, like just relaxing or not doing anything, some time off, or just sitting on the couch and what we like to say, vegging out, which is like act like the vegetable on a couch and let the TV watch you while you stare at it.
Now, this is interesting that we say put self-care on the schedule. How many of you use your calendars on your phone? You use a calendar on your smartphone?
I do.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is only work on there, or do you also have your outside activities like hobbies or, you know, things you're going to do outside of work?
I think I put events that I'll be scared to forget. So it's more like a reminder and not like a calendar. Because now the smartphone is so convenient. You know, you rely on it so much that you try to save as much brain space, memory as you can, and then let the smartphone do the rest, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. Things like your friend's birthday or something like that.
Oh, I let Facebook do that.
Oh, there's another app.
Yeah,
okay.
So many apps.
There's an app for that.
I think there's also a lot of apps that helps out with like putting schedule outside of work.
Mm.
I think like one of my friends, he schedules prayer time, like who to pray for certain
Ooh.
Times of the day. It's not really like watching TV or something, but mm-hmm. it's outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be even in between work. It reminds you to take a break.
Mm.
You've been looking at the screen for too long.
Yeah.
You should
mm.
go for a walk, 5 minutes. Like those kind of reminders.
Yeah, I think that's very good. Very useful.
I really like how Tim mentioned about, like, you know, putting that, like, priority on schedule, like praying for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what I've started doing with my girlfriend, which is we created a shared document with a list of places and things that we want to do. And we list it out, and we just keep on adding to it. And then we take some time out of the week and plug it in into the weekends on a calendar. So this way, because then before, you know, it's like, oh, the weekend's here, finally I can relax, right? And then we kind of like just aimlessly don't do anything.
Right.
But now it's like, hey, every weekend we have set something, like we're going to go somewhere, visit something, do something. And I feel like what Tim was mentioning and this, like, you know, when you have love for something, love is like, it's a verb. You have to constantly, you know, exercise it, put it into action.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think in this busy world, we can, you know we need to work and we do that well, but unfortunately we let our self-care go, you know, to the wayside. And so I think I've become a lot more intentional about putting that on my calendar. You know, whether it's going to watch a movie or things like that. Yes, part of it is also that I don't forget, like Tim mentioned, but also it's so that I'm more intentional about doing leisure things, not just things to do with work. Also, I'm very involved in my church, so it's also not to do with a lot of ministry things.
Right. You know? And I really like how you asked us about this, because I feel like people usually only put work stuff on their calendars.
Right.
You said this word wayside. What
yeah.
is that? It sounds like a really fun word.
To the
word.
Wayside. It means to put it to the side. So it's not your ultimate goal, or it's not your main focus, but more to the side.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, what about number two? Number two, Tim, what do we learn there?
We learn to unplug. I guess I kind of touched on that when I was talking about finding the balance on my work life.
Mm.
It's setting, like you said, the priority. Like work, you do work at working hours, and you know, concentrate on yourself after working hours. So it's learning to, you know, maybe just turning your phone off, not to reply to those important emails, you know, just spending quality time after work.
Right. Yes, I think that we have talked about this in other articles. When you are having a meal with other people, it's not always looking at your phone while you're with the other person. It's being intentional about connecting those people and maybe putting your phone away, or at least putting it on silent. I know we're very good at doing it at the movies because we don't want to be distracted in the movies.
I don't know if
people into their phone more.
At the movie theaters?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, well. Well, I think that this is a big part of learning how to be engaged in the world outside of our work. Of course, we have to be intentional about it, and we have to commit to other activities. And here the author says to hold herself accountable. So she gets other people to also make sure she's doing that. I don't know whether that's a family member or a spouse or somebody that will say, hey, you know, maybe it's time to unplug. So she says she spends spending a minimum of 1 hour per week unplugged. I'm wondering how plugged she was. It's just 1 hour.
Hour per week.
Right? She says, my phone is not allowed to come with me on an activity. Ah, now that's a big one. How many of you are able to do that? Go to an activity without your phone. Wow, the silence tells me. Okay, I think I'm also, you know, guilty of this as well. Often, sometimes my husband and I will go for a walk, and he's better at leaving his phone at home. But I think, oh, well, one of us should have a phone, right? But I think part of it is just getting into the habit of leaving it at home for a time or leaving it aside.
It's kind of difficult because I feel like, you know, our phones do so much, like we can call people.
Or that's like one function, yes.
Yes, phone for emergency. Or like taking photos, you know, what if you stumble upon a cute dog at the park? I don't know. I mean, so...
You're making excuses now.
I'm making my excuses, yes.
I see a snake.
I see a snake, yeah.
All right, well, what are some other tips we can learn? Let's look at our last reading for today.
Three, recruit supporters. I asked friends and family to help me hold myself accountable for taking time to do other things. They remind me that the work will still be there when I come back, and that taking a break will help me be more productive later. Four, set firm boundaries. If I'm not in my office, I'm not checking or responding to my work email. I thought that by making this change, my career would suffer. But what I found instead is that it didn't take long for my boss and coworkers to get on board and even take similar steps themselves. 5. Learn to delegate. I keep reminding myself that letting my staff do their thing is giving them ownership over our workplace and showing them that I have confidence in their abilities. The sky is not falling. In fact, it's been great. Both my staff and I are thriving.
Well, listeners, we are looking at how to have a healthy work-life balance, and we're talking about some tips that will help us do that. The first one we looked at was putting self-care on your schedule. So making sure you put that into your calendar so that you actually have some leisure activities and aren't just working. Also learning how to unplug, how to disconnect with your work and being able to enjoy the world outside. And just doing that, perhaps not looking at your phone for an hour a week. That's what our author did. Well, perhaps there are other ways you can unplug. But the third one that we look at today, Tim.
Recruit supporters. So it's kind of like learning to unplug. You know, we said to keep ourselves accountable. But when we recruit supporters, we have other people can help us, remind us of what we should be doing. Other people can keep us accountable too.
Yes, exactly. So especially if we are looking at a lot of work out of hours, out of our working hours, is also being reminded that, hey, you know, that work will still be there when you look at it tomorrow or when you look at it later. So being able to take a break can actually help us be more productive. We've talked about that several times, just taking a break and looking at the scenery around you, daydreaming for a while so that later on you're able to be more productive. In the break, we were talking a little bit about how social norms can affect us. For example, if you go to dinner with a friend and they're always looking at their phone, often you end up looking at your phone.
Right.
Or the opposite can also be true. If a person is not looking at their phone, then you also feel obliged, oh, well, I'm not going to look at my phone either.
Which is totally weirding me out whenever that happens, you know, when that friend is not looking at their phone and you're having dinner with them and they're looking at you. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me? Look at your phone. No, I'm just joking.
Conversation. It's an unusual thing.
Yeah. I will say the most ironic version of this I have seen of recruiting supporters is when a friend on Facebook's like, hey, please keep me accountable If you see me on Facebook, please tell me to get off of it.
And I think that leads us into our next point, which is set firm boundaries. Making sure that when you're not in the office, you're not responding to work emails. Now, the author thought that making this change would make her career suffer, but in fact, she found that it didn't take long for her boss and co-workers to join her to get on board, which means to also join her, or even take similar steps themselves. How easy is it to do this? Not always easy, depending on the nature of your job, whether you need to respond to clients after hours, that could determine your work. So, of course, bearing that in mind, but making changes where possible. And the last one is to learn to delegate. To delegate means to choose or select somebody else to do something for you. The author says she has to remind herself to let her staff do things, not just doing things yourself. It is easier to do things yourself, but that way other people don't learn how to do it, and then you're unable to delegate and you become overworked. So she likes to help them have ownership over their workplace, show them that she has confidence in their abilities. And, you know, I love this phrase, the sky is not falling. Albert, what does that mean? The sky is not falling.
Well, it actually comes from this British novel called Chicken Little, which they made into an animated movie in 2005. Really cute. But it basically means it's an idiom indicating like hysterical or mistaken belief that disaster is going to happen or is imminent or soon, you know. So, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, the world is ending, this is the end.
Right. So it means, yeah, there's no chaos going to happen just because other people are doing the job. In fact, she found that it's been great for both her staff and for her to thrive. So learning these tips helps us to have a better work-life balance. Well, listeners, we hope that these are some tips that you too can put into your everyday life, or at least consider how you could change some of your work-life balance, not always feeling like you are at work or being a slave to your work. Rather, you are able to enjoy outside, get refreshed and recharged as well. Now, that's all the time we have for today. So this is Amanda,
Tim,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.